Hi, I'm Ken.
And I'm Dee.
And this is Antiques Freaks.
The podcast. The only one left. Welcome.
What antiques are we discussing today?
I thought we would cover, call it Rough and Dirty, model trains.
Seriously?
Rough and Dirty because this is going, we're going to have to revisit it at some point. This is like an overview, generally model trains, yeah.
Hell fucking yes.
I wish there was a way to record that expression. But yeah, you know, with my new job, I think about trains a lot, so this one was an easy one. So, what do we know about model trains? They are trains. They are small. That is it. All right, the podcast is over. Well, all starts in 1804 when train was happening. The introduction of the first steam train. But ever since humanity laid eyes on a steam train, they thought, God, if it could only be smaller.
If only it could fit in my pocket.
God, if only.
If only I could have my very own pocket train.
Fun fact, technically the first model trains would have been the cardboard and cut tin models that were made for the engineering of the actual train.
Oh.
So there's that. As these were, in fact, scale models of an actual train.
Precise scale models for engineering.
Exactly. After the introduction of the steam train and it chugging its way into our hearts, a lot of people made metal and wood models to play with on the floor like you think about in cartoons about kids playing with toys. These were seen as early as 1830. They were expensive, like most nice toys were.
Were they clockwork? Could I wind them up and watch them go?
No, these were just wood and metal.
Oh.
This is very basic.
Still fun, though.
A man named Sir Henry Wood was credited with creating the first steam-powered train toy.
Wait. Sorry. He made an entire steam engine, but small?
Yes.
My God.
I know. These were called dribblers or piddlers. Because they utilized steam so they'd leave a little trail of water.
Yeah! Oh my God!
Other people did end up making clockwork trains. Overwhelmingly, people who made music instruments tended to have the engineering skills available for this.
Because it translates very well from music boxes?
Yes.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It was strictly locomotives. It was the only part of the train that got reproduced. And they were very expensive.
Wait. So they were just making the engine of the train? They weren't making, like, any of the cars or the caboose or nothing?
Not yet, no.
But what is a train without a train to pull behind it?
But none of these people are train makers by trade. They're usually people who do other things who made a model train and sold it at a high price.
That's the cool thing. It's not... Listen, if I might go on a train tangent...
I expected this.
If I might go off the rails, as it
were. Oh. My God.
But no, like, the train is the full, like, the engine, car, 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 caboose. Like, that is the train. Like, if you have just the engine at the front, that's not the full train. It is devoid of purpose because it is pulling nothing.
Ken, it was 1850, I don't know what you expect of these people. They didn't have the time.
They wouldn't have bothered building trains if they didn't want them to pull things.
They had too many irons in the steam engine fire.
Just saying, I'm disappointed. I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed.
I suppose that's your right.
Anyway.
Let us introduce Marklin, a German toy company. They were a manufacturer of mostly dollhouses and dollhouse miniatures. And they realized two things. Trains are cool. Everyone likes them.
Very true.
The second thing they realized is that a train, when made small, is a lot like a dollhouse. What?
No, it's just like, you're right. A train, if small, is much like a dollhouse.
Yeah.
Please, go on.
In that, there was money to be made off of accessories and expansions for the toy. These are the first people to think, wait. A train is what? Well, a tiny train is what? Many, many parts.
Finally, they understand that a train needs both rails and something to pull behind it?
Yep. So they thought, okay, we could make a lot of bank by making locomotives and little cars to attach and interchangeable tracks. So they introduced a clockwork train that ran on a standardized track in 1891.
I want it.
It's expensive as hell. It's the first one.
But I want it.
Okay, well, let's get the time machine.
Yes.
In doing so, by creating a standardized track at all, Marklin becomes the first company to introduce model scales for railroads, which will become a huge thing in model railroad hobby. Their original scale was called wide gauge. They later would go on at various times to introduce N scale, the O gauge in 1895, HO in 1935, and Z scale in 1972.
Now, when you say scales...
Yes.
Not dragon scales.
No.
Scales as a formula for determining how big the tiny train will be?
Yes.
Okay.
Should we go over the kinds of scales right now?
Yes.
I have a graph.
Ooh. We can't audio a graph.
No, I'm gonna say it.
Oh, okay.
Marklin is the granddaddy of trains, and they invented a lot of the scales that would later become popular. Some of these scales include, this is by no means an exhaustive list, these are just common ones. The T scale, which is 1/450th of the original train size. This is incredibly small.
I love it.
The ZZ scale, which is 1/300th of the train.
Would you say that's tops?
That's terrible. There's the Z scale, which is 1/220th. The N scale, which is 1/160th. The 2mm scale, which is 1/152nd. The TT scale, which is 1/120th. The 3mm scale, which is 1/101th. The HO scale, easily the most common scale, 1/87th. S scale, 1/64th. O scale, 1/48th. And G scale, 1/22.5.
Could I ride the G scale?
Yes, you could. Fun fact about the G scale, it exists. G stands for garden. It is for a popular, semi-popular offshoot of railroad modeling called garden railroading. There is a separate set of scales for garden railroading. G is the most common one. Many of them are rideable.
I need it. I need it. I need to ride the tiny train.
Get on the train.
Oh my god. This is amazing.
So dialing back a little bit. Marklin mass produces these in as far as you can mass produce things in the 1890s.
Pretty well.
Pretty well.
The Industrial Revolution was well underway.
Yeah. And this introduced the hobby to the middle class.
Oh.
So, where is there to go with model trains from here?
Directly into my heart.
Electric trains.
Yes!
Because as you may know, as you well know, 1890s, electricity was happening.
In the Victorian home.
In the Victorian home. We have covered this with some extensive research. So it was only a matter of time till it extended to toys. The first electric model train was introduced by a man delightfully named Jehu Garlick. It was called Jehu Garlick's Electric Tunnel Locomotive.
Are we sure that's not a prog rock album?
It sounds like my new favorite band, yes. It featured a very simple magnet-driven motor and a removable glass window to see the engine.
So I can see how the tiny train works as it's working?
Yes, you can.
D, I'm going to blow my next 5 paychecks on tiny trains if this keeps up.
Well, I'm sorry to tell you, only one example has ever been recovered of Jehu Garlick's electric tunnel locomotive.
Aww.
It is considered one of the rarest pieces of model train memorabilia.
Damn.
Next up, Carlisle and Finch make an electric train with metal tracks in 1896.
That sounds super fun and dangerous.
It is. So we're going to jump ahead a little bit just because now seems like the nigh time to talk about it. Carlisle and Finch will introduce a two-slot track method.
Uh-huh.
This will short out.
You don't say.
Yeah, Lionel would go on to improve upon it by introducing the 3-slot track.
Adding perhaps a third rail?
Adding a third rail, which did deal with the problem of electrical shorts more gracefully.
Okay, but like, I don't know if you have these statistics in your notes, but like, how many, like, nurseries caught on fire as a direct result of the electric train set?
Oh, no statistics.
Damn.
But often enough that it's mentioned.
I was gonna say, as a problem. Like, that sounds like ready fucking made to catch fire.
Well, and here's the thing. Carlisle and Finch were not a toy-making company like Marklin was.
Oh, no.
Or Jehu Garlick, who was also a toy-maker by trade. Carlisle and Finch were basically a repair business for motors, and they created big lights. In fact, eventually they would drop the electric train game entirely to make carbon arc searchlights for marine use, which the Carlisle and Finch were actually the most popular light used in many lighthouses up into the 1990s.
Damn.
These were people who made intense industrial machinery, so maybe that's why it skipped their mind to make the toy child-friendly. None of their trains adhered to any set scale, And they stopped manufacturing them around World War I, because World War I made trains less fun to think about for a little while.
I mean, you know.
So, is the time of the train over?
Never.
It's not! Lionel is here! Chugga, chugga, chugga.
Lionel.
Lionel Company was founded in 1900 by Joshua Lionel Cowan. It was not originally a toy company, again.
Never a toy company.
The first electric train by Lionel was displayed in their storefront window in 1901, just to grab attention.
I mean, they certainly have my attention.
It worked almost too well. They did not intend people to be that interested in it.
Little did they know the seductive power of trains.
My note literally says, somehow surprised when people wanted the magical tiny train instead of anything else they sold. So, like, all day they'd have people running in, and they would think that their advertising was working and be like, how much for the train? I want the small train.
The one thing you cannot have?
The one thing, well, instead of saying you cannot have it, they just made copies of what they called the Electric Express.
Do they just, like, start taking pre-orders, essentially?
Pretty much, yeah. They were just like, you come back in, like, a week and you talk to me. We'll see about getting you a train. In a stunning show of toys are never safe, they used wet cell acid batteries.
Now, I don't know much about batteries, but I'm pretty sure, given what I know about electricity and wetness, that this is either going to give someone an electric shock or burn them with acid.
Burn them with acid, much more likely. Wet cell acid batteries go back a really, really long way.
Like Leidinger long?
Yes.
Damn.
Yeah. So that's what they're using. It is very convenient for a small item, and a portable item at that.
No, sorry, I'm just thinking of like, you remember back in Decorative Electricity with a chapter on fire risk when she was like, I'll put batteries in my dress?
Yes. Those were probably wet cell batteries as well. Anyway. Nobody wanted to be alive, apparently.
Nobody wanted to be alive and unburned by acid and not electrocuted.
So Lionel started making these trains in a non-standard size that they, upon realizing that other train makers made them in standard sizes, branded it as, and I'm not making this up, the standard of the world.
Wait, okay. So did they notice everyone else was using the other size, switch to that size, and then brand that as if it were their own standard? Or did they just look at what everyone else was doing, say, fuck that, ours is the standard because we say so?
The latter. When I say they weren't making it at a standard size, they weren't making it at an agreed standard size. They were all making them at a standard size for their manufacturer.
Okay.
So when they found out that train standards were a thing, they said, oh yeah, ours is the good one. The good standard.
Because we said so.
Because we said so. Later, in 1915, Lionel would transfer to the O gauge to stay competitive. This was for a variety of reasons.
Anything to do with things catching on fire?
No, they were nothing to do with things catching on fire. It was all about size and interchangeability. O gauge was established and people liked knowing it was a safe gauge, basically. Everyone kind of knew how that one ran. And it was just the one everyone wanted. Because of its size. They marketed their trains by forcing / encouraging department stores to use their trains in Christmas displays, which is where we get that trope.
Damn.
Much like diamonds, not a natural thing that happened because trains and Christmas just go together, Lionel literally made trains and Christmas go together. They knew the power of associating their product with something as warm and happy as Christmas. And it worked really well.
The sinister origins of the Polar Express.
That movie is sinister enough on its own to not need any sinister origins. Later on, Lionel would take the L, get it? Because their name is Lionel. During the Great Depression, just like everyone else.
Whoops.
This is funny.
What?
In my favorite brand of comedy, which is things you did right before Black Monday, weeks after they introduced the luxurious state train set. A high-quality, highly expensive model of train.
Diamond-studded train?
Pretty much.
Gold-plated train?
It was just very colorful, like, very fanciful, and it was meant to evoke royalty because nobody knew that Black Monday was coming.
Well, some people know.
So that's very... This is like the glass company introducing Futura, like, 3 days yeah. before Black Monday, like...
Yeah. Cool. Oh, no.
It's a very niche, like, source of comedy for me, but it always delivers. Around in 1945, they started making highly realistic trains instead of the fanciful, colorful trains they were making. The trains were still copies of trains, but they took liberties with the designs. And they started making them in O-scale almost exclusively. They actually had the idea that they wanted trains to be for boys, and they were worried that colorfully painted trains might attract too many women. It's industry, huh?
Trains are for everyone.
Trains are for everyone. Thank you. In 1945, Lionel did a good, though, and they introduced the first trains that could produce smoke for that real steam train feel with a safer electric engine.
But when they had actual miniature steam engines, were they not producing steam?
Well, they were, but these were electric, remember?
Oh god, we're doing the steampunk thing all over again.
Yeah, we are.
What if we use the electricity to create steam power?
Pretty much.
Oh my god.
Do you want to hear how it's done?
Yes.
It's an ammonium nitrate pellet placed on an engineered dimple on the train's headlight to produce nitrogen oxide.
I know absolutely nothing about chemistry, but nitrogen oxide brings familiar laughing gas?
Yeah. It's in very, very small quantities and not directly into your nostrils.
I know, but it would be funnier if it was.
It would be.
And not just because of the laughing gas.
These are stable chemicals. I believe it's what they still use now.
That's awesome.
Because you can still get pellets to make your little train smoke.
I'm just picturing, like, some, like, desperate asshole older brother home from college for Christmas, like, snorting the battery pack of his, like, little brother's train set in desperation effort to get high. Like, I feel like that's a deleted scene from The Secret History.
Nice. During the 1940s, while World War II was in full swing, Lionel ceased a lot of its operations because they used metal. And as we all know, that was pretty verboten to make fun things out of metal during the war. They actually had, like, a weird exchange program. Kids could donate their trains back to help America, and Lionel would sell the scrap metal to arms manufacturers. And Lionel had a line of, like, wooden pole trains to give the kids if they did it.
Oh, that's...
depressing.
Something.
Yeah, it's sad. It's okay. World War II ended, and Lionel introduced the train set. If you've seen a train, if you've thought about a train set, you've probably thought about this one. 1948, the Santa Fe F3. A reliable, painstaking reproduction of the Santa Fe train, which at the time there's only one of.
Because who wants to go to Santa Fe?
Who gives a shit? Except about the train. Well, the train, like...
so
like, the face you're giving me says that this train is less iconic than I thought. But maybe this is because I owned, like, a knockoff Santa Fe kit, like...
I mean, not to be extremely basic, but I think the most iconic train is Thomas.
I'm gonna fucking... Oh, I've never felt so violent. I did this episode for you.
I know. It just makes it worse. I do appreciate the train.
This is the Santa Fe.
Oh. It is red.
It's iconic. Not that you know about it. Not that you'd care. But iconic trains. The Santa Fe would go on to be Lionel's top bestseller for almost 20 years.
Damn.
Yeah. And in 1955, Lionel trains were considered the most popular toy for boys, because we were still doing that.
Bogus.
It's the 50s.
The 50s were a mistake.
In the late 50s, Lionel started losing its train crown, because it turns out people liked the military and space better. And a lot of other toy companies had popped up to cater to the military and space.
Okay, but space trains.
They tried that.
Did it work?
It didn't.
Oh.
Yeah, they tried to come up with military-themed trains, which ended up being ghoulish.
I was gonna say, that sounds like it would go in one very specific direction, that direction being ghoulish.
Yeah, I'll spare you the specifics, but it was bad. Very tasteless, I would say.
I believe you.
And the space trains, which just didn't work for some reason, they sound delightful. You know, they were made with those, like, 1950s, like, aesthetic, spaceship aesthetics.
Yeah, little
that sounds great.
The tracks.
They look great. I don't know why they weren't more popular.
Because boys don't appreciate trains, apparently.
Maybe it's because, like, they were next to the military trains and everyone was like, oh, that's tasteless. I have a note here that just says space bus.
What?
Yeah.
Anyway.
And then in 1960, LGB, another famous train company, one T away from being very inclusive.
I was gonna see, why didn't they just tack the word train onto the end of their company name?
Lesbian, gay, bisexual, and train, as we all know. Introduces the G-scale that you are the most excited for.
Yes!
Of course, garden railroading. Actually, a bulk of those are actual steam trains.
Yes!
Because the fun of garden railing is getting it as close to a real train as you can.
Hell yes! Tiny train for me!
There are lots of fun pictures of these where you can just see grown adult people riding their incredibly small trains. And I love it, and I'm here for it, and they're living their best life.
The garden train I get most excited for, personally, is part of Gillette Castle State Park.
Yeah? In Connecticut?
In Connecticut, because it is the mansion of William Gillette, who was most famous and made, like, crazy amounts of money being the American actor to be Sherlock Holmes on the stage.
Oh, that Gillette.
That Gillette. and he used some of his millions to not only build a castle, but also a tiny train to carry his houseguests around it.
Wow.
So the train is not currently up and running. The state of Connecticut is still, like, raising funds to get it back into up and running condition. Accepting donations now, so maybe...
Hey, guys!
Maybe if we all work together, we can ride a tiny train!
Hey, guys, I want you all to immediately look that up and put your money into it.
July Castle State Park, tiny train, let's go!
I didn't have that note.
Oh, shit. Okay. Anyway. Train detour over. Back on track.
Well, that's... like I said, that's the quick overview of model trains. From there, it just gets, to me, more boring, because I'm not a modern model train guy. You know, the 1980s introduced a lot of electronics, a lot of computers... that did, in fact, revolutionize railroad hobbying. You could rig up multiple trains, you could have switching tracks, lights, everything. It does very little for me, mostly because I'm an antiques guy. But I respect how exciting it is. To now, I think you can actually, like, have remote trains controlled by your iPad or whatever you kids are doing now. Drone trains, I don't know.
Can you imagine if, like, Amazon drones were limited to, like, tracks that were pre-laid?
God, like, just... The farther ahead we go, the farther back we end up slipping. We just accidentally, like, invented the railroad again.
Just like a miniature Amazon monorail that just goes through cities. Oh, God. Anyway.
So, now that I've talked about all this, I bet you want to collect...
Yes.
Trains.
Yes.
Well, okay, yeah, well...
Give train.
Lionels are the most popular train to collect. They were the biggest company, they came up with the most types. They are, there they are. With Lionels, the 1950 and earlier are the absolute mwah, chef kiss, the best kind. Other makers, American Flyer and Marks and LGB are very notable. All LGB train came onto the market a little later, but...
If they're called LGB train, why can't we just call... Anyway.
There are also lesser known American-made brands such as Deep Breath, Ives, Carlisle & Finch, Voltamp, Boucher, Dorfa... Dorfa in Hafner, Hoag, Buddy L, Howard, Thomas in, just Howard, Thomas Industries, Cusan, AMT, Auburn, EP, Alexander American Model Railroad Co. and Knapp Electric.
Is Thomas for the tank engine?
No, Thomas Industries, not for the tank engine.
Damn.
That's American.
Missed opportunity.
Thomas Tank Engine is Brit.
Shine Time Station was American.
Was it really?
Yeah. Because they just, like, took the British train footage and dubbed new voices over.
Are you trying to tell me that Sir Topham Hatt is an American man?
In the context of Shining Time Station, yes.
Huh. That's a lot to... Anyway. All those companies with their very goofy names that I included almost strictly so I could say all those goofy names, such as Dorfa and Hafner.
Your disrespect for Germany.
Sorry, Germany. You guys made cool trains. All of these existed briefly during the 20th century and are no longer in business, meaning everything they made is limited and thus valuable. So there's that. Keep an eye out for stupid, dumb, goofy names, like just the word Howard.
So just basically any model train company that isn't Lionel.
Or Marks or American Flyer or LGB.
All right.
T. Some of the most popular set pieces, all which they began developing around the 1930s, water towers, coal elevators, magnetic cranes, and... Lionel's most famous invention to the landscape, the operating watchman. He would pop out of his little hole when the train passed by, as if to inspect the cars.
Oh, this is adorable.
Again, original packaging will drive up the value. Something fierce. I know you hear this a lot, but it's true. If you got trains and you want to know more about what they're worth, please do not message me. I don't know what I'm doing. But what I have for you is trains.com with a Z. That's trainz.com. It is a website specifically for train auctions.
What you're saying is it's perfect.
Yes, especially for assessing value, because the people there all care deeply about trains. You will not get a more accurate reflection of what people are willing to pay. Other things to consider: the model of the train, the condition, year, its scale, its gauge, any modifications that have been made to it, what its mechanism is, any special attributes such as a wet cell battery or an incredibly tasteless military design. Most popular scales are O and the O27 gauge, which is an outdated larger size of O, are the most collectible, followed by standard 2-inch and S gauge. HO and N trains are not normally collectible because they are what we use now. So like any gauge and or scale other than what you can find in a model shop now, famously people say HOs and Ns are worth about half of their original retail value, no matter how old they are. I'd say that's a gross, that's oversimplifying a bit, but just saying scale comes into play here.
So what you're saying is size does matter?
I'm going to throw myself on the floor and roll out the door. Like a train.
That's not how trains... That is not how they locomote.
Sure it is. Lionel introducing the new train. A fucked up train. It does weird stuff.
It rolls sideways. So
tagline, why does it do that? By Lionel.
Patented rolling off the track technology.
Yeah. Patented, it's not even really acting like a train at this point, technology.
Okay, but the trains I am most interested in collecting are tiny electric model with a glass window pane so I can see how it runs.
That's going to be hard to find.
The 1891 model.
That's going to be hard to find.
Original piddling steam train.
That's going to be hard to find.
Gillette's garden train.
Oh, I think someone knows where that is, actually.
How do I get all of these trains in my house?
I suggest becoming fabulously wealthy.
Let's go.
If you're more interested in getting started in, like, collecting model trains in general, not specifically the vintage ones, there's a lot. Oh, there's a lot. I did find some really fun guides, nmra.org/beginners-guide, and wgh.trains.com/resources, all have extensive, detailed guides to how to get started in model train.
WGBH?
No, just WGH.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, was that a Thomas the Tank Engine tie-in there from WGBH?
No, stop trying to bring Thomas into this. He's been banned. I'm walling him up like Percy when he did a bad job. There go the click, click, click. There go the bricks. Thomas the Tank Engine's banned from any future train discussion. Can we go to Eaterville Railroad?
Absolutely, yes. Let's go.
I believe they have G-scale trains.
No joy.
And, you know, that's about it. Like I said, this is skimming. Just wanted to explore the early, just dip my toe into trains a little bit, get us all started.
But it's the end of the line for our train episode.
Choo choo! All off. I don't know anything about trains. What do they say when it's, they say end of the line, huh? It occurs to me now that that's probably why you said that.
I mean, you know.
Well, every time I take the commuter rail, they just say, like, you have to leave now. Is this, you have to leave now. You can't sleep at, like, the depot? Get off. So I don't know what they say. And then the train rolls sideways off the track and away. That's how they work, right? So, yeah. That's the end of the line.
Cool. Do you have sources?
I got a bunch. We have tandkhobby.com/blog/thehistoryofmodelrailroading. We have ogage.com/modeltrainhistory. We have modelbuildings.org/modelrailroadhistory. We have lionelcollectors.org, big surprise. We have collectorsweekly.com/modeltrains. And we have invaluable.com/blog/inside-the-archives-of-lionel-train-prices.
And we also have Return to Cranford.
And we also have Return to Cranford, which is why I'm such a genius at trains. It's so sad when the train slithers like a snake off the track and then rolls sideways and kills everybody.
I mean, that is kind of what happens, huh?
It actually is, yeah.
Spoilers for Return to Cranford.
Wow, yeah, spoiler for Return to Cranford. There's a train. So I hope you will give my overview of model trains a 10 out of train. I would play the Thomas the Tank Engine music here if it weren't copyright protected, almost certainly. Oh, wait, I could do it with... I don't know it either. Is that not it?
I have no idea. So if you would like... if you would like to talk to us some more about trains or any other collectible or antiques topic...
If you want a deeper dive on a specific part of model trains...
Such as the wheels.
Such as the wheels. Yeah. What?
They're a part of
something more interesting than the wheels.
Wheels are a part of a train.
Feel free to email us at
antiquesfreakspodcast@gmail.com Or you can hit us up on Facebook at facebook.com/antiquesfreaks. And you can join our Facebook group, Antiques Freaks Friends, where we have so many wonderful listeners sharing a lot of absolutely delightful content.
It's the best place to be if you want to cyberbully me for something dumb I said on the show. I've earned it. Don't feel bad.
We also have an Etsy shop at etsy.com/shop/antiquesfreaks, where we have a variety of vintage goods and t-shirts and stickers with the podcast logo on them.
But no trains.
Yet.
Yet, apparently.
We also have a Patreon at patreon.com/antiquesfreaks, where you can find deleted scenes and join the Random Vintage Postcard of the Month Club, where we send you a random vintage postcard every month. Special shout out to our current patrons for keeping the podcast lights on, paying our hosting fees, and getting us ever closer to a second microphone.
And keeping me from the dark nights.
There we go. And thank you for listening.
Especially you.
Choo-choo.
All aboard. To end.